Welcome into the Draftster with your host, Zach Blackerby and Christian Page.
Welcome in. It's draft week, ladies and gentlemen. And Christian and I are excited to force our final thoughts on you. Christian, how are you?
I'm good. Like you said, it's draft week.
Yes. Yes, it is. So regardless of how you're listening, whether it's iTunes, Stitcher, online, at thedraftster.com, please, please, please go give us a review. Give us 5 stars if you think we deserve it, of course.
Always deserve it.
Yeah, and leave a review. That's how you can tell us that we're doing a good job. We would appreciate that. And be sure to follow us at DraftsterPod on Twitter and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/thedraftster. That's it.
You got it.
All right, let's jump right into it. Christian, who do you think is the best overall prospect in this draft?
Well, we've talked about it before. I think the first episode we talked about it. Laramie Tunsil, offensive tackle, Ole Miss. I mean, just his ability, his athleticism as a plug-and-play starting left tackle in the league. I mean, I think that's a pretty safe pick, and I don't think there's much disagreement around the league or anybody that knows draft across America.
Yeah, I agree with you. And if you would have told me a few weeks ago that he has a chance to slide into past a 5th or 6th pick overall, I would have thought you were crazy. But these two quarterback trades have done exactly that. And the guys who are at the on the clock next with San Diego and Dallas, I don't think they necessarily go tackle. I mean, yeah. If San Diego doesn't, I don't think Dallas does.
No.
And so we were talking just a few minutes ago, he might fall to Baltimore. And I really can't picture Baltimore taking him either. But
yeah, if he slides past San Diego, it might be an interesting ride, and there might be some happy teams outside of, you know, past 6. And might be kind of like Leonard Williams, the USC defensive lineman last year. A lot of people, including myself, saw him as the best prospect in the class. And, you know, due to taking a couple quarterbacks at 1 and 2 for the Bucks and Titans, and then his draft stock kind of, or his draft position kind of slipped down, and had a pretty productive season for the Jets, so they were happy about that.
Right.
So it might be a similar situation for Tunsil this year.
If you had to guess, the San Diego pick at 3.
If I had to guess.
Do they stay at home or do they trade it away?
Well, I mean, it just depends on. It depends on if they want Tunsil, and I think in this, if there's somebody else in their mind besides Jalen Ramsey, the Florida State defensive back, or Tunsil, if there's somebody else in their mind, I think they can get out, and there can be enough ammo that they might bite on a trade to get out of number 3.
Yeah.
I don't know who a team would want at the 3 spot to trade up to San Diego. You might have thoughts on that, but I don't think anybody's trading up to number 3 to get Paxton Lynch.
Well, we talked on our quarterback episode. I think Paxton Lynch has become super valuable now.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think San Diego picks at 3. I don't know who does, and I don't know if it's for Paxton Lynch or Jalen Ramsey or Tunsil or whoever. But my prediction is that San Diego does not pick at 3.
All right. Bold prediction.
There you go. All right, Christian, who would you stay away from in the first round? I mean, we all know the guys that are supposed to go day one. Who would you say, hey, I'm not going to draft this guy?
I have a feeling I know who you're going to pick.
Yes.
Well, I have 2 guys I know I think you're going to pick.
I'm going to say DeForest Buckner.
Okay. I was going to say Eli Apple is going to be your other one.
Okay. Sure.
That's fair. So you go for it with Buckner, and then I'll comment on it.
I just think that we've seen other guys like him in the league that come in super highly touted, and there's really not a whole lot of reason other than athleticism or size. And, of course, with Buckner's, he's a big dude, and I think that's about it. I don't think you should draft the guy that high to play 2 downs. I don't think he's good, and I don't think he can be good at rushing the passer. So I think that's all you get. I think that's his ceiling, and I don't think that's worth taking early in the first round, especially as a top 10 pick.
Yeah, and with this class not being a highly sought after pass rushing edge rushing class, I don't know if that maybe forces Buckner's stock up, but he's not this overly aggressive pass rusher in my eyes, and I think you think the same. So, yeah, I'm not buying into this top 10. Now, he might go in the top 10, but I'm not buying into this top 10 talent. We've talked about this over and over again.
Yeah.
And but a guy I'm going to throw out there that I think is talented, but I'm not necessarily buying into how he's projected, is Leonard Floyd, the outside linebacker out of Georgia.
Okay.
He has a lot of athleticism and stuff to like, but seeing him possibly go in the top 10 just kind of blows my mind a little bit.
You think he'll go in the top 10?
I mean, of everything I'm seeing and reading, I think it's – I would be surprised if he slips out of the top 10 or top 12.
Okay.
And maybe teams like Chicago or – heck, maybe even Cleveland or somebody like that. But, yeah, I'm not buying in all into the Floyd hype right now. And a lot of people are viewing him as just strictly an edge rusher. I don't necessarily see him as this great pass rusher, though he can cover a lot of ground in coverage. And he's a better, a legit linebacker in coverage and can cover a lot of space in the flat. So if you view him more as that, he's a better linebacker prospect than just a pass rush edge prospect.
I'm surprised you say that.
Does that make
sense?
But
I don't disagree with you.
Well,
I didn't think his value was that high from mocks and stuff. I haven't seen him going that high.
Search his name on Twitter and tell me what you think. Because it just kind of...
I mean, I've watched stuff on him. I like him, but I never thought top 10, but... I think around between 15 and 20, I think that's about right.
Yeah. I don't know.
But,
I'm not sold on it yet.
But you like Buckner a lot more than me, so that's perfectly understandable. All right, looking at the same pool of guys, these first-round projected prospects, who do you think could potentially be the best, if you can call them sleepers, quote, sleeper in the first round?
Yeah, and I was telling you before the show, it's kind of surprised you a little bit, and saying this player could – technically be a sleeper out of the first round group. If I said this back in November, I would be shocked that I'd be saying this. But A'shaun Robinson, the defensive lineman out of Alabama.
Okay.
I've rarely heard his name tossed around at all for any – I mean, I think he's probably a top 15 talent in this class.
Do you really?
I do. I mean, his versatility across the defensive – a 3-4 defensive front – he doesn't have the pass rushing skills.
He bull rushes every play.
But I don't think he's going to be asked to be – this dynamic pass rusher off the edge. You put him as a 3-tech tackle or a nose guard, I think he can excel. And he has great movement skills. And, I mean, it's just weird seeing or hearing those words come out of my mouth that he's a potential sleeper. But, I mean, if you get him, I mean, he's mocked anywhere from 25 to 31 at the back end of the first round.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a solid, solid value pick, in my opinion.
Okay. I'm going to go with Darren Lee. He's a outstanding athletic linebacker from Ohio State, and he really owned the combine, and I kind of expected his stock to go up and him to be mocked higher really everywhere, and he hasn't. A lot of other Ohio State guys have kind of risen and fallen, ranging from Von Bell to Joey Bosa to Eli Apple, but he's kind of a guy that's always been a late one, early two kind of guy, and that kind of surprises me a little bit. And, so that's my guy. I mean, he could be one of the better linebackers in this class. And, I mean, after Jack and Raglan, I think he's there.
Yeah.
So I that's my sleeper. That's
Would you consider maybe Noah Spence in the back end of the first round? Would that be considered a sleeper?
Sure.
Okay. I mean, I think going with value picks with Robinson and maybe Lee, I mean, they could be – you know, a few years from now, the best at their position. But I think Spence has that top 10 talent.
I mean, don't you think
off the field stuff with him?
Yeah, yeah, of course. I mean, he got kicked out of Ohio State,
yeah.
But since then, I think he's been pretty clean. Mm-hmm. But if, I mean, wouldn't you consider it a quote sleeper if you drafted a Pro Bowl player at the 30th overall pick?
Yeah.
I mean, because there's going to be guys in front of him that didn't make it, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Just some thought. All right, who's the guy for the best win now prospect? We're both going to say Elliott here.
Yeah.
So let's other than Elliott.
Best one now.
I'll go while you're thinking.
Okay.
Corey Coleman. I think he's a guy that can fit everywhere. And I don't know, when you say win now, I always think of guys that get the ball in their hands. You know, the guys, the skill positions. And I think Corey Coleman's that kind of guy. I think I've seen comparisons of him being compared to a Percy Harvin. I don't necessarily see that. I see the athleticism side of it all and the kind of the build. But as far as what they do, I don't know about that. But I think he's good in space. He's good at creating space. And I think the guy's going to score a lot of touchdowns and get a lot of yards in the NFL.
Yeah, he'll definitely be a highly coveted fantasy rookie.
Yes.
Maybe we can get a show on fantasy. Just fantasy.
It's our website. We can do it.
We can do whatever we want. My guy is Vernon Hargraves, a guy that Zach falls in love with. But going with the win now mode, I think having a highly, coveted corner on the back end of your defense and is really an essential element for success in the NFL.
Hey, I'm not going to argue with him.
Yeah, I know you're absolutely not. And I'm going to explain it a little more just because his ability to cover the best receivers, whether it's in the flat, inside, vertical routes, I mean, in his ability to turn the ball over with forced fumbles, interceptions, just being able to add that extra element on defense, I think Hargraves could be considered a win-now guy.
All right, who do you say is the best plug-and-play guy?
Well, the obvious pick would be Laremy Tunsil here.
Yeah.
I mean, I just, like, for every reason I gave earlier, just his ability, and I don't see this with every prospect I look at, but I'm looking at an NFL player. Looking at a potential Pro Bowl caliber player with Tunsil.
Right. I'm going to go with Taylor Decker here just to be a little different. Okay. Of course, Tunsil is going to be the easy one to say here.
Yeah, Taylor Decker, I was saying to you earlier, plug and play for the fact that he did play left tackle and right tackle.
Yeah.
So he has that flexibility, versatility there, and that would help day one.
Who do you say is the best long-term investment of all the prospects in this class?
Do I name Tunsil again? I don't want to.
I mean,
to.
You can. I mean, I think when I think of a long-term investment, I think of a guy that may not be great right away. And we think Laremy Tunsil will be.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Carson Wentz here.
Okay. Yeah, I like that. Based on your reason, yeah.
Yeah, I think he's going to be okay going in. And I think he's going to go two to Philly. So, with the Eagles, I think they're going to slowly work him in, and I think this guy can be special down the road. I don't think he's going to be there this year or next year, or maybe 3 years, but I think around 4 or 5 years into it, he's going to be one of the top quarterbacks in this league.
Do you think if he gets drafted to Philly, though we just had the Sam Bradford ordeal going today,
right,
you think he's a day one starter?
Yeah, I do.
I mean, it's weird to say that because he's probably, if you get picked 2 overall, you think that would be, but
I don't think you can mortgage your future like those two teams did and not start the guy that they draft.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. Long-term investment, I think I'm going to go Shaq Lawson here. He's a guy that I've
Interesting.
Been.
Interesting. That's a good one.
Yeah, he's a guy I've been gaining more steam on lately. I mean, I think he might be a top 10 talent in this class, and with the defensive end class, a lot of times you just see more pass rushers than an overall polished player. But Lawson excels more in the run game than he does as a pass edge threat, in my opinion. So having that element, which is a lot of times harder to make the jump to the NFL and more, you have to have more coach development there. If he can, you know, create more pass rush ability off the edge, I mean, he can excel as a 4-3 defensive end. I mean, I think he's the second best 4-3 defensive end but outside of Joey Bosa in this class.
All right. Who do you think the guy that could go way earlier than we expect him to, the E.J. Manuel or the D.J. Hayden of this class?
I was thinking about this the other day, and I was trying to find that guy to be like, who's the guy that we're going to be like, really? Like, who's popped? And I don't want to say Paxton Lynch because I think with the position.
We kind of expect
that kind of, yeah, a quarterback of his caliber doesn't really blow my mind there, but
this could be first round, second round, third, okay, just whenever.
Well, in my last mock, I had Kendall Fuller going to Carolina, and I think just of his status right now, that kind of seems as a surprise.
Okay,
I mean his overall ability he's shown in the past, though he's only played 3 games this past season for Virginia Tech with the torn meniscus, so maybe that would be more of a surprise. But, well, I guess that another question would be who you think will fall, and I'll answer that in a second.
You want me to answer it now?
Yeah, yeah.
My guy's Kandici.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be a team that sees his talent and is able to look past the off-the-field stuff.
Yeah, and he has the talent.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no question.
If you take away the off-the-field issues, I think he's a top 10 pick.
Mm-hmm.
So there might be a team that is willing to look past that and take a risk on him, so he's my guy. Were you going to ask something?
Well, I was going to say, as in somebody that you said might be a surprise, but you were talking about getting drafted ahead of maybe their stock. I was going to go talk about who I think may slide compared to maybe where we see them or the media sees them. And I was going to say Clemson with Mackenzie Alexander. I think the zero interceptions and the way he addressed himself in the interview, some people come across that he doesn't have that high football IQ that a lot of teams want a first-round investment in. And another guy I was thinking, Laquon Treadwell might slide down. I don't want to say out.
Well, I was about to ask, predict the guy that falls.
So, that's what I was saying. I was segueing into it. With Treadwell, I think it's almost a scheme fit in what you want in a receiver. He's not the burner type, and I don't think teams are going to view him as that. But with Coleman and Doxson, and now Will Fuller gaining a lot of buzz, Treadwell might slowly fizzle out.
Treadwell was mine.
Yeah, I was thinking it was.
How many rookie quarterbacks do you think start this season?
Let's see.
We got Wentz.
Day one.
Goff.
Yeah, day one, probably Wentz and Goff, because they're going 1-2.
Just two, okay.
And maybe whoever Dallas drafts, the backup Romo. Okay. I mean, I hate to predict injuries, but, you know, it's possible. Or maybe whoever Cleveland selects. So I would say two for sure, maybe four max.
You didn't include Lynch in there.
No. I mean, with this question, it depends on team. And I think the developmental process of him, I don't know if that necessarily says he's going to start this year. But there are 16 games in the season, so it's kind of...
I'm
going to
say five.
Okay.
Just throughout the whole season.
Just to one up me. Okay.
I just think four is too low. I don't know. Before the draft starts, before we know who's on what team, predict the rookie of the year.
Well, we're probably both going to be in agreement here.
Okay.
And Ezekiel Elliott.
Yes.
I mean, I just.
All right, we're both there. Predict the defensive rookie of the year. I'm going with Vernon Hargraves out of Florida.
I was trying to think of something different.
He's the chosen one. The one who's going to save the franchise that takes him and put that defense at the top of the league.
Yeah, maybe barring Miles Jack's status, I think he has that ability to play and make an immediate impact to possibly get the rookie of the year. He reminds me of former UCLA linebacker Eric Kendrick, just an instinctive,
right,
uber-athletic linebacker.
Okay, I'm going to ask you who your small school stud is.
Small school stud!
And we'll divide them into two tiers. We'll have an upper tier and a lower tier, and we'll have that line in between to be pretty arbitrary. Leave that as you will. So do you have an upper tier or a lower tier guy, depending on which way you want to start?
Starting with the upper tier guy, Javon Hargrave, the defensive tackle out of South Carolina State.
Good.
Gained plenty of buzz with the offseason games. Made a late showing at the Senior Bowl and dominated in practice there. Just has those tools and has a little bit of sneaky pass rushing ability, and I think you line him up anywhere across the defensive front. I mean, I think he's going to excel. I mean, he could be a candidate for all rookie team. I think he has that kind of ability.
All right, my guy is Joe Haig out of North Dakota State. Helped Carson Wentz in that offense. I think he does a good job getting off the ball, good first step, and they ran the ball a lot. They passed a fair amount. They did a lot of different things on offense. I think that's going to help him transition to the NFL. Who's your smaller tier, small school stud?
I'm going to go with Antoine Williams, the linebacker out of Georgia Southern. I've been kind of on riding his bandwagon for quite some time
now.
Yeah, you have. And he looks the part, has the speed, and just he just bullies his competition, and which is what you want to see at that lower tier play. You
sure.
know, you want to be able to immediately turn on the film and be like, okay, that's the guy we're talking about. And I think he shows that.
I'm going to go with friend of the program, Justin Zimmer out of Ferris State, a guy extremely athletic for his size, over 300 pounds, ran a 4.8 40 and 45-plus reps on the bench press, depending on which pro day or combine you count. So extremely athletic guy. Come talk about bullying his competition. He definitely did that, and he played standing up. He played with his hand on the ground on the inside and then the outside. He can do a lot of things, and I don't know if he's going to make a splash right away, but I do think he finds himself a roster spot, and he makes the most with it.
I agree.
All right, I want you to predict Mr. Irrelevant. Of course, Mr. Irrelevant dubbed the last person of the draft, last person selected, and it's the Denver Broncos this year that hold that pick.
Jeez, we're going to have to look way back. This doesn't even, like, you don't even think about team needs here. It's just kind of
no,
like,
it's just who's going to kind of go around there, who's borderline.
Let's see.
I'm going to go Quincy Adams.
Okay. Your boy Quincy.
Yeah, right. Another friend of the program. And the Navy cornerback, just trying to tie the team needs here as far as Denver goes. I think for him to get on the field there, he's going to have to play nickel. And I can kind of see him doing that.
Okay. Oh, man. I kind of want to say this one guy, but I think he might go before. But
I think I know who you're going to say.
Really? Okay, who am I going to say?
Rocky Hayes?
No. Okay. I don't think Rocky Arkansas Hayes State. Gets drafted.
Okay.
I think that was probably another question that we're about to talk about. But,
sure.
I'm going to go Ricardo Lewis, wide receiver out of Auburn.
I think he goes before then.
I think he goes before then, too. But I don't know. He's just one of those late-round receivers. But
yeah.
We talked about between the fifth and seventh round, it's kind of just.
Sure, there's no way you can predict
it. It's just kind of a crapshoot of what it is.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. What rookie and person entering this draft do you think will be responsible for the most touchdowns?
Let's go. I'll go Corey Coleman.
Okay.
I mean, we talked about him. I talked about him being a fantasy stud probably his rookie season. And I think just the ability to dominate on vertical passing routes, gaining that separation. I mean, he lived in the end zone. He had 20 touchdowns last year for Baylor. So,
you took mine. You want me to be different?
If you want to be different.
Okay, I'm going to be real different. You ready? This is a bold prediction. I don't really think this. But
don't say it.
I want to say Pharaoh Cooper, just shooting from the hip. But I'm not
Definitely.
Going to. I'm not going to. I'm going to say Ezekiel Elliott. Yep.
Okay. I'll put Pharaoh Cooper, like, I'll write him down just so if he does, I can say you called it, kind
okay.
of.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
Who do you think is going to be responsible for the most sacks?
I like my boy Shaq Lawson.
Okay, I'm going to stay with Clemson, but I'm going to go Kevin Dodd.
Okay. Yeah, that's a terror.
Yeah,
man.
Absolutely. All right, and this is kind of the same as predicting Mr. Irrelevant. But name a guy who's going to be an undrafted free agent that makes a roster spot.
I mean, I fell in love with Rocky Hayes throughout the season. And, I mean, it's going to be a definite uphill battle for him going forward. But, I mean, just guy never gives up separation. He's a great open field tackler. Can go from 0 to 60 in a second. I mean, making plays all over the field. I mean, from his cornerback position, looks like he was playing, you know, free safety and running around the field. And, I mean, I think if he shows that determination and work ethic to get there, I mean, he has the tools, in my opinion, to be that sleeper, that, you know, an undrafted free agent that makes a roster.
I'm going to go with Avery Young, the offensive lineman out of Auburn.
You don't think he gets drafted?
I don't.
Really?
I don't think so.
God, that surprises me. I think Ricardo's getting drafted and not Avery Young.
Yeah. Huh? I don't know. It's just
okay.
what I'm thinking.
Sorry. Okay.
All right. So this is kind of just me and you's last chance to say they're our best thoughts. So we're going to go down every position and just say our best prospect at that position. Best quarterback.
Man, I've gone back and forth here. I'm buying into the hype train of Jared Goff.
Okay, I'm going Carson Wentz.
Okay.
Best running back.
Elliott.
Other than Elliott.
DeMonte Booker.
I'm going Alex Collins.
Okay.
Wide receiver.
Doxson.
Offensive tackle?
Tunsil.
Other than Tunsil?
Stanley.
I'm going Decker.
Okay.
Best interior offensive lineman?
Cody Whitehair.
Okay. I'll go Garnett. Tight end?
Hunter Henry.
Defensive end?
Joey Bosa.
Going Bosa as well. Outside linebacker?
If you're putting Miles Jackson outside linebacker, he's my pick.
That's who I was planning on saying. Defensive tackle? I'm going with Sheldon Rankins.
Go A'shaun Robinson, Alabama.
Okay.
I like Sheldon Rankins too, though.
Okay. Best inside linebacker?
Before injury, Jalen Smith, but right now, Reggie Ragland.
I agree. Corner?
Hargraves.
Glad I've converted you.
You never convert. I was always on that hype train.
Safety?
Jalen Ramsey projecting at safety.
Okay. What if Jalen Ramsey's a corner?
Carl Joseph's a missile, but I like the top end of the safety class.
I like Darian Thompson a lot,
too. I love Darian Thompson.
All right. And where it all comes down to, the best kicker.
Robert Aguayo.
Yes, absolutely.
Tom Hackett, punter, just to be fun.
Okay. I haven't looked at punters this year.
You need to look at long snapper because, you know, your crew over there is good at scouting them out.
Hey, we drafted one in the fifth round last year. Go Pats, baby. All right, thank you for listening to The Drafter. Be sure to tune in tomorrow. That's Tuesday, April 26th, for our mock draft episode. And that'll be our last podcast before the draft. So stay tuned for that. And also be sure to check out our episode next Monday night as Christian and I talk and discuss the high points of the draft. Happy draft, everyone. Hope your team picks well.
Thanks for listening to The Draftster. Be sure to subscribe, follow us on Twitter @DraftsterPod, and visit our website at draftster.com.